This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. The intro track to this episode was the Wario's Castle theme composed by Kazumi Totaka and from the last stage in Super Mario Land 2, Six Golden Coins. And I'm going to explain why fairly shortly, but before I do, I want to talk about indie rock. Yes, this is another installment of my series looking into the connections between video game music and pop music. This just happens to be the indie rock episode. Who remembers indie rock? It was one of the dominant genres of music about a decade ago, and its reign spanned my time in college. The laws of nostalgia, therefore, mandate that this should be a style of music that I hold close to my heart my entire life and tell younger generations about. And I guess I would. I legitimately think this loose grouping of bands, categorized under a dumb label that doesn't really mean anything, put out some really good music in its time. But now that that movement is essentially dead, or at least banished to the realm of dad rock, I don't really know how to feel about it. This is not a brag at all, more of a thing to just tell you so you know where I'm coming from, but I actually did go to Coachella back when it was cool. And it was cool. Not packed shoulder to shoulder with people, and certainly not wall-to-wall 17-year-olds, but mellow and low-key and fairly generous with how it gave out press passes. Having a press pass got me into close proximity to artists I really liked, but having a pass to the photo pit got me even closer, just because standing below someone performing in desert heat more than once resulted in them perspiring directly on me, one time into my mouth. Super gross, but it's also a kind of artist-audience intimacy that may be particular to Coachella, for all I know. Whatever, I got some good pictures. And I had some good times, and I even have some good memories. And though I don't really listen to the indie rock that used to get played at Coachella all that much anymore, doing the research for this episode was a great wallow in the muddy swamp of nostalgia. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm referring to the phase of indie rock that got a lot of mainstream attention in the 2000s. Bands like The Killers, The White Stripes, The Strokes, The Hives, Modest Mouse, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Block Party, Vampire Weekend, lots of others. I won't be talking about any of these bands in this episode because, as near as I can tell, none of them actually did anything cool that I can tie back to video game music, at least in any sort of interesting way. I may be wrong. Please tell me if so. However, I can talk about another major indie band, the Arcade Fire. No, not because of their name, which was inspired by an apocryphal story about a video arcade that burned to the ground and took a bunch of kids with it, but because of Owen Pallett, a violinist and composer and singer who has worked with the Arcade Fire over the years. He did the string arrangements for the Arcade Fire's debut album, Funeral, and also the follow-up album, Neon Bible. If you've been listening to Singing Mountain for a while, you may recognize Owen's name. He came up in episode 23, Super Mario B-Sides, which is all about lesser-known music from the extended Marioverse. I have another one of those coming in the not-too-distant future, by the way. Owen came up in the original episode as a result of his 2005 track An Arrow in the Side of Final Fantasy, which he released back when he performed under the artist name Final Fantasy. Here is that song.
Slaughtered. You miss your youth there. You miss the city. Have no regret. Have no pity. Smoke blows thick and turns midday to midnight, but my love for you needs no sunlight. Don't be sad, just look around you, all things shining.
Those are some poetic, somber lyrics, and when you hear the inspiration for the melody, I think it's all the more remarkable that Owen got that from this VGM. Have a listen to the source material. That is the Star Maze theme from Super Mario Land 2, Six Golden Coins, composed by Kazumi Totaka, who has composed a lot of great Nintendo games over the years, but is also the voice of Birdo and Yoshi and Igad, in addition to being the voice, namesake, and visual inspiration for KK Slider, the guitar-playing dog from the Animal Crossing series. Seriously, look up a photo of him. KK Slider has his face. It's really weird. This Star Maze theme is notable for two reasons. One, it's catchy as hell, and for another, it's an outlier in the overall soundtrack to Super Mario Land 2. This game is the one that unleashed Wario upon the world, and has Mario hopping through a strange new world that in many ways is a spiritual sequel to Super Mario World, but graphically and musically is the part I care about right now. Though it's on the Game Boy, it very much so has Super Mario World-style graphics, all the way down to the design of the Fire Flower. The musical debt this game owes to Super Mario World is that all the level themes are variations on the same melody, which, unless I'm mistaken, wasn't a thing in the Mario games until Super Mario World. For example, here is the Super Mario Land 2 treetop theme. And here's the theme you hear in the stages in the ocean area of the game. And here's what you hear in the grinding gears of Mario Zone, a weird sub-area located entirely within a mechanical statue of Mario that exists for no reason I've ever been clear about. In the game, if you visit a giant hippo on top of a mountain, you can hop into a magical soap bubble that allows you to rise up into the sky and into Space Zone. And no, that sentence does not make sense, but I guess it doesn't really matter. One of the stages in Space Zone has Mario navigating a field of angry-looking stars. It's essentially an underwater stage, just one where Mario is wearing a spacesuit and floating around in low gravity instead of actually being in water. This is where you hear the Star Maze music. I love it, and apparently so did Owen Ballard. Normally, this is where I begin the process of pop culture archaeology, trying to figure out how this piece of VGM got adapted into a piece of pop music. But Owen Ballard is actually fairly upfront about his inspirations. Sort of. If you open the CD booklet that comes with the album Has a Good Home, and yes, I did buy the physical album, you'll see on the back page that the song Arrow in the Side of Final Fantasy is, quote, largely based on a melody from the game Six Golden Coins, period, end quote. That is not the name of the game, of course, and the notes don't shout out Kazumi Totaka by name, possibly because the only way to see the composer's name might have been to beat the game and watch the credits, I'm assuming. But he is at least doing more than have a lot of artists I've talked about so far. In one of the many recollections that Owen has given about video game music that I found myself relating to, he explained that the Star Maze theme was his favorite composition from a video game when he was 12, and he would include it on mix CDs. Quote, embarrassed that the recipient might find out the song was from a video game, I would credit the song to the fictional band named Chuck and call it Mario in Space. I have done this. I have tricked many people into listening to video game music without realizing they were listening to it. It's still kind of a hard sell. With respect to geek culture, Owen's albums are really interesting texts to pick apart. His following album, 2006, He Poos Clouds, it's poos, like the verb, yeah, has one track for each of the schools of arcane magic from Dungeons & Dragons. Abjuration, illusion, conjuration, necromancy, enchantment, evocation, divination, and transmutation. I had to look up abjuration too. It's protective spells and counterspells, though in non-D&D talk it's just like, it's like the act of renouncing. But there's your word for the day. D&D isn't video games strictly speaking, but it's an open embrace of nerd culture and an interesting way to theme an album. The title track is, according to one interview, actually about Link. Playing as Link and falling in love with Link. That info might help you make sense of some of the opening lyrics.
And I can't feel it. But hey, hey, all the boys I have ever loved have been digital. I've been a guest on a screen or in a book. I move them with my thumbs. I move him with my thumbs. I write his name in nothing. He whispers to the author that I will be the only one.
In case you couldn't pick out the words, he's singing, but hey, hey, all the boys I've ever loved have been digital. I've been a guest on a screen or in a book. I move him with my thumbs. I move him with my thumbs. There's a back-in-the-day interview he did with the music publication Amp, which I'll link to in the show notes, where he talks about how he ended up writing a love song for Link. This is all one big quote from him. I think it's the short tunic. Sometimes you do wonder what's going on with the game designers, you know? There's a character in Metal Gear Solid 2 where he is naked for part of the game, walking around with his hands on his genitals, and all you can think is, what on earth were the designers thinking? Are they conscious of what they're doing here? Maybe I'm oversexed or something, but I always was really attracted to Link. End quote. I hear you, dude. Being a lonely kid who grew up relating to the world via video games and also being gay, it's sort of uncanny to hear someone else say all that out loud. Like, get out of my head, dude. In studying Owen Palin's music, you hear video game references everywhere, regardless of if they're intentional. The lead track for his third album is titled Midnight Directives, and it features the lyrics, the way will be lit by the bridges we burn, and come, tornado, carry me away. And I'm like, is that the warp whistle from Super Mario Bros. 3, which summons a tornado that takes you away? Or is it the recorder from Legend of Zelda, which also summons a tornado that takes you away? Those are not the only instances of wind phenomenon taking people away, I realize. But he set me up to wonder if that was an intentional video game reference. Also, haha, come tornado, ha ha ha. Come tornado, just such a phrase. Sometimes, though, what seems like a video game reference really isn't, in life, in general, and also in regards to Owen Pallett specifically. Keeping in mind general Nintendo-ness, have a listen to a little bit of this track, Hey Dad.
Down the river to the place you retire to, away from the women who despise you. I've been sad, cause all my friends resent me.
So obviously, it's a riff on the Coin Heaven music from Super Mario Bros. 3, right? I mean, just for reference's sake, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, here is that. Yeah, that song really sounds like Coin Heaven, right? Like, really, really, really. According to Owen himself, nope. There's this message board that seems like it's basically devoted to Owen's work, and back in the day it hosted real discussions about his songs, though it seems to have mostly been taken over by spam bots now. Owen used to post there as well, and at one point he owns up to being inspired by the Star Maze theme. When asked about this track, however, he says no. Quote, total coincidence. Both melodies are a ripoff of Brazil anyway. I'm steering away from the major sixth from now on. Sixth, that's a really hard word to say. Sixths. Sixth. The plural of sixth. The Brazil he's referring to is a song you know melodically, but maybe don't know by that name. The Arcade Fire actually covered it on Funeral, but it's also been covered by everyone from Frank Sinatra to Dionne Warwick to the Venga Boys, and by Kate Bush in the movie Brazil. It was originally performed by Francisco Alves in 1939. Sounded like this.
Brasil, meu Brasil brasileiro. Meu mulato risonheiro, vou cantar-te nos meus versos. O Brasil samba que dá bamboleio e faxinga. O Brasil do meu amor, terra de Nosso Senhor. Brasil,
Brasil,
pra mim. Oh, abre a cortina do passado, tira a mãe preta do cerrado, bota o rei Congo no Congo.
And here is the Kate Bush version, which I suspect may be a little closer to Owen's heart than the original. Sure, I actually hear the similarity myself. Owen's song does sound more to me like Coin Heaven than it does Brazil, but I believe him anyway because he credited the Star Maze song as an inspiration. I mean, why be honest about one and not about the other? Doesn't really make sense. As a good lesson, though, the thing you're perceiving isn't necessarily the thing you're perceiving. You are mistaken sometimes, or maybe you're just a little bit dumb, like me. Speaking of which, come tornado. I keep thinking that's funny. It probably always will be. So this isn't actually an Owen palette-specific episode. I wanted it to be a fun mid-2000s sampler of VGM-influenced indie rock, but it turns out that despite my best efforts, I couldn't find that many instances of one influencing the other. In a meaningful way. There's some stuff I just didn't feel like talking about. This is where you come in, though. Do you know of some instance of indie rock that draws upon video games as an influence? Please tell me. Do not tell me about the Lana Del Rey song. That doesn't count. But given the nerdish leanings of a lot of indie subgenres, I'm sure there are more out there. Here's at least what I can tell you. Fleet Foxes is a Seattle band that landed pretty big in 2008 with its self-titled debut. Their music straddles the line between indie rock and folk music, but there is a subtle VGM influence, especially in that first album, especially in the track Quiet Houses. Ragged Wood is another track, and that name alone makes me think of Final Fantasy Tactics, but Quiet Houses is maybe the best embodiment of what frontman Robin Pecknold told Rolling Stone in 2008. That Final Fantasy was as big an influence on them as Simon and Garfunkel. And just to be clear, he's talking about, like, the game Final Fantasy, not Owen Pallett's old stage name. This is a direct quote from the Fleet Foxes frontman. "Those Japanese games had these dense and mysterious soundscapes. A song would just loop the whole time you were in an elf village or whatever. It was catchy and mysterious. That sounds like good music to me." Elf Village or whatever would be a great band name, by the way. But have a listen to Quiet Houses, which maybe by virtue of that name alone makes me think of breaking into happy villager houses in the original NES Final Fantasy and just opening all their treasure chests and taking their stuff. Have a listen to Quiet Houses. Hear it, right? And even if you don't, doesn't this track at least put you in a good mood? Then there's also Boom Bip. I know, that name. Indie rock has a tendency towards the twee, and I cannot really excuse it all these years later. I initially saw Boom Bip back at the 2005 Coachella. It's a he rather than a they, by the way, and the biggest single is probably Do's and Don'ts. Look it up if you're not familiar, it's very catchy. The previous album, however, had this track Roads Must Roll. Given the topic at hand, it's pretty interesting. Apparently, a lot of non-VGM, non-indie rock people first encountered this song through NPR, which featured it in a segment back in 2006. The gamers who were listening might have felt a rush of nostalgia when they heard it. I'm going to play it for you now. The part that is relevant begins about 20 seconds in. Did you hear it? Did you get the video game reference? While you ponder it, I'll say that it sounds a great deal like one of my favorite NES-era Nintendo compositions ever. I used it back in episode 25, which was my wordless space opera episode. Weird little experiment. Here's what all available logic would tell us is the source material. Was the title theme from Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link, though specifically from the Famicom Disk System version, because it sounds just a little bit better than the NES version we got in the States. That is one of my favorite compositions from the NES era, and I think the overall soundtrack is pretty solid, considering it was composed by Akito Nakatsuka and not Koji Kondo. However, the Boom Bip song isn't just a reworking of the original VGM melody, but what I'm pretty sure is a sample from the final track of Hyrule Symphony, which is exactly what it sounds like, and that last track is a medley of a bunch of Zelda songs not limited to the ones that came from Ocarina of Time. I say I'm pretty sure about this because there's nothing official that I can find anywhere that says that, yes, the artist is sampling this track. It should say it somewhere, based on all the conversations I've had with people who work in this area of the music industry, but for some reason, it's not in the liner notes and it's not on the ASCAP directory. Brian Charles Holon, Mr. Boom Bip himself, is the only person listed as a writer. My first assumption was that maybe he wasn't using that song. Maybe it just kind of sounded the same and I'm mistaken. So I tried to layer them on top of each other to see if they line up, starting from the part that goes da 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 da. Okay, so what you just heard is actually both of them together without me having to adjust either at all. It is the same song. It doesn't sound like two different things. Here's the Hyrule Symphony part on its own. And here's the boom bit part on its own. And here they are again together. So if Boom Bip isn't sampling Hyrule Symphony, I'm thinking this would have to be an astounding coincidence. I should point out again that I'm not saying this to go after Boom Bip or Brian Holon or anyone, or really say that anyone has done anything wrong. I actually love this song. I think it's beautiful, and the fact that it has roots in a video game that I've always thought could use a little extra love actually makes me like the song even more. I guess it's worth pointing out that this album was released on the Lex Records label, and Lex Records did have a hand in Danger Mouse's The Gray album, which is a very famous instance of a music copyright battle, since that project used EMI-owned Beatles music without permission. But if you've listened to the three previous installments of this series, you'll know that this Boom Bip song is far from the only instance of pop music using VGM and not publicly acknowledging it. There might be a great reason why. I don't know what it is, but if you do, please tell me. That's it for this episode. As I said before, there are probably other examples of music of this genre or thereabouts using or being inspired by video game music. If you can think of any off the top of your head, please send them my way. If you've never played Super Mario Land 6 Golden Coins, you're missing out. It's a great Mario game that hasn't had the second life on other systems that many other Mario titles have gotten. Maybe you heard about that remake of Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening for the Switch? It looks really cool, and like a cool way to revisit an old Game Boy game. I'm hoping 6 Golden Coins gets that treatment as well. If you haven't already been to Coachella, don't. Sometimes I meet people that don't live in Southern California and are surprised when they find out that I still don't go to Coachella, but it's kind of a horror show now. But also, understand that I'm saying that as a 36-year-old who would rather stay home and make podcasts. I talked about the Arcade Fire earlier, and because I probably won't have another opportunity to share this information, I want to tell you now that brothers Wynn and William Butler, both in the band, are actually rock music legacies. Their grandfather, Alvino Ray, was a guitar pioneer who once performed with a terrifying rock and roll guitar puppet. I wrote about it on my old blog years ago, and I insist that you see this thing just to see how terrifying it is. I'm linking to it in the show notes. Also, I once did this little video art project using the Arcade Fire song Reflector, and then the two different versions of Psycho, the Janet Leigh version and the Anne Heche version, and it's just one of those art projects that you do and kind of turns out good. You're like, oh, that actually didn't suck, and yes, I'm asking you to look at my video art project if you have the time. I'm linking to it in the show notes. I think it's cool. Look at it or don't. It's up to you. For each installment of this series, I'm posting the text at singingmountainpod.com. You can also listen to all previous episodes of Singing Mountain there or basically anywhere else you would normally find a podcast. If you have questions, comments, or criticisms about Singing Mountain, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter, either at DrewGMackie, M-A-C-K-I-E, or at SingMopod, S-I-N-G-M-O-P-O-D. You can also follow Singing Mountain on Facebook. Just search for it there or go to facebook.com/singingmountainpod. Also on Instagram, if you like pixel art, at singingmountainpod. Please subscribe. And if you like the show, please give me a rate and review because those are helpful for the reasons that you hear on every podcast ever. Also, if this is your thing and like you know someone else who's nerdy about video games and was also into indie rock music, maybe tell them about this show. Be like, hey, there's this weirdo doing a very specific thing that I thought you might get a kick out of. I think it's probably the best way to grow the audience for this show is a one-to-one recommendation of someone being like, this made me think of you. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe they won't, but I would appreciate you making the effort if you can spare the time. This show was written, produced, and edited by me, Drew Mackie. The cover art for this series of episodes examining the connection between VGM and pop music was designed by Jude Buffum, a pixel artist whose work I really dig. You should check out his stuff at his website, judebuffum.com, judebuffum.com. Special thanks to Amy Smith, who is the person who cleans up this text after it goes on the website, so I look less stupid. If you're ever in need of a copy editor, hit her up on Twitter at Amy's Edits, A-M-Y-S Edits. Singing Mountain is a Table Cakes podcast. Table Cakes is a Los Angeles-based podcast network that features some really cool shows, including two others that I host. Check them all out at tablecakes.com. If you want to support Singing Mountain or any of the other shows on the Table Cakes network, please do so at patreon.com/tablecakes. In a first for Singing Mountain, I'm ending this episode not with a VGM track, but with something by a real live band. I know I called this episode Link and Mario Go to Coachella, and so far every artist I've featured actually did play on a Coachella stage. I don't know if the Mountain Goats ever did. They may not have, but they definitely earn a place in this episode because in 2008, in collaboration with an artist named Khaki King, the Mountain Goats put out the Black Pear Tree EP. And the last track on this album is one that you won't find anywhere else in their discography. And that's too bad because it's a very strange, wonderful, weird, creative thing. The name of the track is Thank You, Mario, But Our Princess is in Another Castle. And it's a first-person narration by Toad. Like one of the toads that Mario would rescue at the end of the first 7 worlds of the original Super Mario Brothers. It's kind of surprising that anyone ever thought to write this as a sort of monologue, but it's actually quite moving. Sure, they erroneously state that Magic Koopas were in the original Super Mario Brothers. They weren't, but just the fact that someone got a Magic Koopa reference into a work of mainstream music is kind of remarkable. So that's what we're going to close out with. Again, the title is Thank You, Mario, But Our Princess is in Another Castle by the Mountain Goats and Khaki King. See ya.
I waited here all by myself. Was dark and it smelled like sulfur. I heard the screams from way down in the darkness. Felt pretty sure my life was over. I kept my hat on just for luck. Sang simple tunes the whole night through. I wondered if I'd wake to find myself in flames as I waited here for you. Yeah, when you came in, I could breathe again. I saw some guys dressed up like sorcerers, blue robes that float above the ground. They came and went, and I was frightened for my life. I tried not to make a sound. Just when my solitude was closing in, I heard a howl like screeching tires. And I told you the one thing I know how to say through the bright ringing drone of 8-bit choirs. Yeah, when you came in, I could breathe again.